Welcome to the Search Storage UK special report podcast on alternatives to RAID. My name's Anthony Adshead, Bureau Chief for Search Storage UK. Today's speaker is Mark Stamer, Chief Dragonslayer with Dragonslayer Consulting. The first question today is, where in a practical everyday sense might users of storage feel the shortcomings of RAID? Over to you, Mark.
Where they're going to feel the shortcomings of RAID has to do with large capacity drives, 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte, 3 terabyte drives, in which they have a failure in a RAID group. The most common RAID groups are RAID 5 or RAID 6. In either of those cases, when a drive fails, the system has to rebuild the drive. So you have to take the drive out and put a new drive in, or in some of the more sophisticated storage systems, there's a pool of drives that it pulls from electronically, not necessarily physically, so that it looks like you took the bad drive out and put a new drive in. In the process of doing that, there are a couple things that will go on. First, if it's a manual process, what if you pull the wrong drive? Then you're in deep trouble, especially if it's a RAID 5. If it's a RAID 5 and you pull the wrong drive, you just lost all the data in your RAID group. If it's a RAID 6, you just made your rebuild incredibly slow. Now, in both cases, let's say you replace it with the right drive. You now have the situation where the system has to rebuild the drive. To rebuild the drive takes time because it's based on a concept called parity. So it's going to recreate the data over a period of time. If you have a 2-terabyte drive, which is the most common high-density drive in the market today, that will mean it will take it as a priority process. In other words, that it has the highest priority of the storage system, of the storage controller. It will take approximately 60 hours to rebuild the 2-terabyte drive, somewhere in the neighborhood, sometimes a little less, sometimes a little more, depending on the system, the amount of memory and processing, but roughly about 60 hours. In that 60-hour time frame, you have a very high probability of a second drive failure. And that's why most people go to RAID 6, because if that second drive fails during that 60 hours of rebuild, then you're going to lose all the data in the RAID group if it's a RAID 5. If it's a RAID 6, it will rebuild the second drive. You go through the process at the same time for both drives. Here's the rub for both of those. When a drive is being rebuilt as a priority process, you're going to lose a significant amount of performance out of that storage system. Typically about half, 50%, sometimes more, sometimes less, but right around 50%. Now, that means all your applications are going to have a reduced response rate, reduced throughput rate. Most enterprises, most large companies, even most SMBs can't really tolerate that, so they'll set the rebuild process not as a priority process, but as a background process. So that 60-hour time for a rebuild of a RAID 5 or RAID 6 2-terabyte drive will go to roughly 16 days, maybe 14 days, maybe 20 days, but roughly about 16 days. That's a really long time where you could have a second failure, so you have to run in a RAID 6 environment. As you run to the RAID 6 environment, you're now losing more of your capacity, to usable capacity, to the parity. What happens when you have a third disk failure? Now we're back to the same issue. So now you're hearing people promoting RAID 6 triple parity. When will it end? At some point, you start looking at this going, this is getting incredibly complicated for something that was supposed to be incredibly simple to protect the user, protect the IT, against a disk drive failure. And, of course, there are other types of disk drive failures which fall into this category, such as unrecoverable read errors. So these are some of the issues with RAID.
So quite some shortcomings with RAID. What kind of alternatives to RAID are coming to market? And briefly, Mark, can you explain how they work?
Sure. Before I answer that, let me just say there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's always trade-offs. So every technology which solves a problem has its own. So having said that, yes, there are a number of alternatives coming to market that are in the market already. One is a wide stripe or wide parity. A wide parity is similar to mirroring. Mirroring is RAID 1 or RAID 10, in which you make a complete copy of the data on another drive. The problem with that is if both drives happen to fail, that the primary copy and the mirrored copy, then you're SOL, your hose, as a friend of mine says. But in real terms, this wide striping goes a bit further. Instead of copying the data from one drive to another drive, it copies the data across a wide variety of drives. It's called a wide stripe. And it does that with parity instead of the data. That gets kind of interesting. It means rebuilds are really fast. In fact, one of the players who do this today is IBM with XIV. They can rebuild a 2-terabyte drive in 30 minutes. It's pretty amazing. Of course, there are some other things that come with that, which means you have to use far less than your maximum capacity. Your usable capacity is roughly about half, similar to mirroring. So there are some issues there. Another one is erasure codes, also known as forward error correction. Erasure codes, which is used by a number of vendors, including IBM and XIV, but it's used by CleverSafe, it's used by EMC Atmos, it's used by NEC HydroStore, it's being used by a variety of players and more coming out every day. CleverSafe is one of the ones that I consider furthest along in this. But in general, erasure codes are a form of object-oriented storage in which you describe the entire object on every slice of that object. So, for example, let's say you're writing a file, and you break that file down into 16 slices or chunks. And each chunk of data has metadata or information about all the other chunks in the entire data. So you could actually only have to access 3, 4, 5, 6, depending on the amount of metadata, chunks of data to see all the data. It's a variation of a hologram, but on data. If you look at a hologram, a picture, a photograph, and cut off half the photograph and look at that hologram at a different angle, you can see the whole photograph. It's the same thing with the data. So you can lose big chunks of your data and still access all your data without having to recreate your data. Very clever technology. Started out in the late 90s as far as theoretical, and it's hitting the market now. Now, in general, that sounds great, except it's going to add latency. Anytime you have to add a lot of information about the data to be able to read your data, you got to read the information before you read your data. Therefore, it adds latency and affects response time. There's no free lunch.
Fascinating stuff. We could clearly talk about this for quite a long time, but unfortunately, we're limited in time today. So that's the end of the podcast. Thanks, then, Mark. All the best.
You're welcome, Anthony.